Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, February 27th, 2018. And with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I am good. It's good to be here.
Great to have you here. Also, thank you. Adam Christensen from the MacCast. It's great to have you on. How's it going, Adam?
It's going all right. It's actually a rainy day here in Southern California, which is unusual for us, but good. So
I heard that it never rains in Southern.
But it pours.
Hardly ever, and we need it. So it's good.
Well, and we're balancing that out because in Boulder it is sunny and 43 right now, and it's going to be over 50 today. So apparently we got your weather today.
Wow. Yep.
Yeah. Well, okay. So what I want to talk about first today is this whole thing, the supposed breaking news that Apple is using Google's cloud storage servers for some of their services.
A shocking revelation.
Yeah. And the interesting thing for me wasn't that they're actually using Google services, cloud services, or well, Google's storage services. It's right. That it sounded so familiar that when I went to look to see if we'd ever talked about this, I found the two articles that I wrote in 2016 about Apple using Google's cloud storage services.
Right. Yeah, it was actually back in 2016, they were actually moving from using Amazon's cloud storage services, AWS, over to Google. And I think, I want to say it was like a $600 million deal, if I'm remembering, you know, that was reportedly what it was at the time. And it certainly got me, the headlines really got me going, because I woke up, what happened to me is I woke up to an email from someone in my community who was asking and was legitimately concerned because they are worried about the security and privacy of their data. They don't use Google's services for themselves because of some of those reasons. And they said, this seems like, they didn't use the word betrayal, but they were basically concerned that Google had access to their data and that they were going to be data mining it. And it was all being done without their, you know, without his knowledge. You know, he thought he was giving it to Apple and now Google has it. And,
I can see why someone would be concerned about that.
Well, and they were concerned about that because that was sort of the way that most of the headlines that I was reading were positioning it. It felt like this, what a lot of the media does these days is try and create fear and panic in people so that they click links and that they read things. What was even more concerning, in my opinion, was that a lot of the articles weren't going past the headline and drilling into this history of, you know, like why is this a thing? Why does Apple use cloud storage services at other companies? And we thought Apple was building their own cloud, and why isn't everything on their servers? Because they have, you know, big data centers in North Carolina and Oregon. And so I had to email this guy back and say, okay, well, there's a couple things going on here. First of all, you know, all your data is, while it is on Google servers, is still encrypted and controlled by Apple. You don't need to necessarily worry that Google is jumping in there and getting that stuff. And then also just explain that, you know, yes, Apple wants to, and they have a big plan. I don't remember the code name for it, but about the same time that the Google article came out in 2016, this article that Apple was moving their cloud storage, there were other reports that Apple had an internal project that they eventually want to get all their data onto their own cloud. But, you know, building massive data centers and setting up server farms and doing all these things takes a really long time. You know, you've got to get construction permits, you've got to find locations, you got to do deals with cities. So, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. And obviously, Apple has a growing services business. That services business needs storage, and they need to use what's immediately available. And it's not anything that's unusual for any of the industry. Like all of your apps, all of your, you know, things that store data in the cloud, the reality is there's three companies now that most developers and most corporations use for cloud storage, and it's Amazon AWS, it's Microsoft Azure, mm-hmm. or it's Google's cloud. And it's pretty standard across the board these days.
So, yes, knowing that this is the standard, It's just how it works and has for a while. Mm-hmm. I still get why people would be really concerned about their data and whether or not, because Apple is storing our personal data, our iCloud data on Google servers, do these people need to be concerned that Google is going to be mining their personal data?
Right. And I try to simplify things a lot for my audience. And so the analogy I kind of wrote back to a couple people who had emailed me in, the best one I could come up with was, you know, you think about it like if you need storage for your house and you can't keep things in your garage is too full, you need some additional storage, you go to a storage company or a storage facility, right? You rent a space, and that's basically what Apple is doing. They're renting space on Google servers or Amazon servers. You put your stuff in there, and then you put a lock on it, right? You put a lock on the door, and you have the key, and the owners of the storage facility don't have the key. You know, you're still in control of the stuff that's inside, even though you don't own the physical space that you're storing it in.
I think, though, we can... I don't think that analogy actually really quite covers it. And there's two elements to this. One is that in the storage locker metaphor, the managers of the company can come with some bolt cutters and open your lock and get all your stuff.
Sure.
The reality is that it's more like Apple has taken your stuff and then put it through a magic paper shredder that renders everything down to its molecular basics and then spread it out over a crap ton of storage lockers in random order. And only Apple knows how to put it back together again when you come back to get your stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and there's a lot of encryption involved, right?
So you're super protected there. And obviously Google is not, Google could technically bang on this data. I wrote about this yesterday about China. Mm-hmm. And I think this is an important distinction here. Google could bang on that data to try to brute force decrypt it if they wanted to, because they do own the servers. But they're not going to do that. Right? I mean, Google has no incentive to do that. Not even Google wants to that data in your profile so much that they'd be willing to risk that.
Right. It would destroy the company, not to mention, at the very least, you know, destroy a lucrative contract with Apple.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, you know, it's in Google's best interest to actually be, you know, good corporate citizens here. But there is a huge difference between government being able to do that. And in this case, in a theoretically stable democracy with a company being able to get your data. So the situation in China is a lot different, where now that Apple is hosting both the keys and the data on for Chinese iCloud accounts in China, It is actually quite conceivable that China will at some point start trying to bang on that data to be able to decrypt it.
Well, do they even need to do that? Because it's not even Apple doing that in China, right? Correct me if I'm wrong. Apple has had to contract with a Chinese company, which I believe is a state-owned company.
It's joint management for the data. The keys are being also separately hosted with some Chinese company as well, but Apple says that it maintains control over those keys.
Oh, okay.
That's what Apple says. The problem is that China no longer has to go through U.S. courts to compel the release of those keys. And there's a difference, of course, between encrypted data on your iPhone, which no one can get to, and encrypted information in your iCloud account, which Apple can get to and always has been able to get to. Mm-hmm. But now the Chinese government could compel the release of Chinese iCloud keys without having to go through U.S. courts.
Right.
And as you pointed out, that's bad news. That's bad news for Chinese iCloud users.
Yes.
For every other Chinese user of anything in the cloud, period.
Yeah. But I mean, to be fair, that's something that as Chinese citizens, they've had to deal with across the board. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but I mean, that is part of living in China.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. This isn't unique to Apple. It's just a change for Apple. This is the first time that Apple has hosted its keys outside of the U.S.
Right. Well, and again, you know, the complexities of that are just massive, right? And I think sometimes when people are giving analysis that, you know, it's easy to jump on Apple and say, well, that's, you know, bad on Apple. They shouldn't be doing that. They should be standing up and all these things. But at the end of the day, they have a company to run with shareholders and financial responsibilities and obligations. And well, China is a huge market. So, you know, what's the alternative? You say, OK, well, we're not going to do business in China.
I remember bagging on Microsoft for not shutting down its Chinese operations when they were forced right. to obey censorship rules, and praising Google for making the brave decision to do just that, to shut down their operations in China rather than submit to Chinese censorship. Mm-hmm. And I believe that it's very important that we hold Apple to that same standard. And I think that Apple's stated position heretofore has been that, I don't know the word, like, way off topic, Jeff, but this, I think
this is fascinating. And it is related because people...
It is related.
Yeah, because people are curious, what can Google do with their personal data from Apple? So carry on.
The Apple has made the decision that it is better for Apple's customers in China for Apple to play by the rules. That's not quite how Apple is saying it, but Tim Cook has said a couple of times, and there's been a couple of company statements about along the lines of, basically, we think it's better to be here than to not be here. Mm-hmm. And that may or may not be true, but where I worry that this is going to be a bad thing for everybody is that every other government can now say, look, you're playing ball with China, you're going to play ball with us. I worry about that. And I used to worry that that the first step was going to come from the U.S., right? With when we had James Comey trying to get back doors into Apple's encrypted systems. If the U.S. forced that back door, all bets are off, and we no longer have any protection from the good guys, the bad guys, and everybody else anywhere in the world, because every single government's going to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. But as it is, the first step has now come from the Chinese government. Apple has played ball. Right. Apple has changed its rules. Apple has changed what it's done. And other governments are going to do the same thing. It's already starting in Europe, where the EU is wanting to be able to compel access to EU data, no matter where it's stored. So this bears watching.
Absolutely.
And it still does not mean that it's in any way a bad thing for Apple to have their stuff on Google servers for their data in the US.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's a complex thing, and Apple as a company has to kind of make those calls, right? They have to decide at what point is it worth it for us to continue business in this country with this country's regulations. I don't know. I guess I just see that, you know, you're doing business in a country, and a country has laws, and you have to kind of sort of, whatever those laws end up being, you obey those laws or you don't do business there. I guess those are really the only two choices. I don't think there's a middle ground.
Apple could have shut down iCloud in China.
Sure.
Do business in China.
And so, but that's not, I think the reality is that really going to change how China operates?
No, but it doesn't mean that Apple needs to be complicit. Is it, I mean, like, again, let's go back to Google and Microsoft, right? We all thought that it was great that Google shut down its shop, and we all thought that Microsoft was crappy for playing ball, for being complicit in Chinese censorship. Why would we apply different rules and different standards to Apple?
That's a good question. And now, with Google, didn't they find ways, once they left the country, to still be able to offer some sort of service to people in China?
Yeah, and to Adam's point here, I think this is really important. Google had almost no business in China, but it's a huge market. But Google never had much of a foothold in China. So what Google did is it rerouted requests from its Chinese domain to servers in Hong Kong, where the rules still allow Google to be open. the laws still allow Google to be open. So Google did make what I think is a very brave decision, but at the same time, they weren't giving up a whole lot because they didn't have a whole lot to give up.
I also have a lot of people that I've heard from who live in China who are my listeners, and they don't want their iCloud taken away too. I mean, like, that would suck for them. So in a lot of ways, I've heard from many of them who are like, I would rather it be this way and I have these services and products than to have those taken away from me.
Well, so you're okay with Apple being complicit in China censorship and control?
Again, I think it's complex. I don't like it. No, I mean, but at the same time, you know, I'm a user too. Like, I wouldn't want to have to deal with that. You know,
no, and I'm also glad that I don't have to make this decision, that I can sit here on a podcast and you know, toss it around and weigh things and, you know, talk about philosophy. I mean, these are, you know, multi-billion dollar decisions dealing with things that that Tim Cook has a very excellent track record for taking seriously, which is privacy.
I mean, and we can even bring it back here, like the FBI thing, or if California passed some sort of laws in similar veins, you know, like play pie in the sky thing. But I don't know how I honestly don't know how I'd feel about that. I don't know if I'd be like, okay, well, you know, I'd rather them have some ability to have censorship and still have the services than to not have the services. It's a tricky thing. It really is.
Yeah. My feeling is I don't want to have anyone censoring my data or having deep access to information that I'm presuming is encrypted.
Right.
But on the other hand, I don't think I'd have much incentive to buy an iPhone if those services weren't available. So if they had to be curtailed in some way so that I could continue to use them and make my iPhone a useful device, would I be okay with that?
Right. Like, if the government got their back door in the whole thing, would I stop using an iPhone? Would I go try to find something else? Would I? I don't know that I would. I would just kind of go, well, that really sucks.
I would probably continue to use my iPhone and try and find ways to work around the government backdoors.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that's what should happen or should have to happen, but at the end of the day, sometimes that's the realities of the world we live in.
So, okay, so I want to bring this back to Apple's data on Google servers and the whole thing with government access to our encrypted data. I can see one place where people would be concerned about the government having a loophole to get to our data. And I get that this isn't actually possible, but I'm bringing it up because I'm sure there's some people that are thinking about it. Let's say the FBI wanted to access some of your personal data that Apple doesn't have the ability to get at directly.
Right.
So then with the data on Google servers, what if the government went to Google and said, you give us access to that data that's on your servers from Apple?
Still good. Without the keys, right. It's going to take forever to get at that stuff.
Exactly.
So, I mean, this is a non issue except for Apple shareholders and hardly even there. It's, you know, how much money is Apple spending on this? They're hosting with someone. They've always hosted with someone. They're going to continue to host with someone. And Google, Microsoft, and Amazon, quite frankly, are all doing an excellent job with their cloud services.
Yeah, right. There's a reason why Apple has been relying on these three companies in varying degrees over the years. It's because they provide a quality service that's reliable that Apple really needs.
Yeah, my biggest issue with how these stories were presented this past week was that almost with, and again, I looked through, you know, The Verge, CNBC, you know, a bunch of these sites were all sort of touting the same headline, like this was some giant expose revelation that Apple was using Google Cloud services. What was the massive irony, in my opinion, was that also every one of these news outlets that I could find also had a story from 2016 about the deal that Apple did with Google to bring iCloud services onto Google servers. So it was just like, you guys are making news from nothing, just to make news. Yeah, yeah. So,
all right. Well, we're out of time, so we have to wrap up. Adam, thank you so much for being here today.
Hey, thanks for having me. This is fun.
Yeah, this is lots of fun. And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Oh, for sure, man. Thanks for having me.
Yes, and listeners, thank you for being here. The articles that we mentioned today, I'll make sure there's links to those in the show notes. So you can go and read the articles from 2016 that I wrote about this. Listeners, thanks again for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.